Blog Talk Radio.
I pick on my skirts to be a little too sexy, just like all my thoughts, they always get a bit naughty. When I'm out with my girls, I always play a bit bitchy, can't change the way I am.
Your team of hosts. I am Pretty Bird, and the better half, Miss Sweet Pea, will not be here tonight, unfortunately. So it is me and Rackentor. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And that song, which I absolutely love, was this little who knows what that showed up in my news feed one day, and I was like, what is this? And it is my, and it's like, that's perfect for the show. And so I love that song. It is Sexy Naughty Bitchy by Tata Young, and she is a Thai singer. She's from Thailand, won a singing contest at age 11. This was off her first English language album that came out in February of 2004, and I don't even think it was even released here, so how it showed up in my news feed, I have no idea. But she sounds like she was born here. Like, I couldn't even detect an accent. Perfect English. Gotta love that. And so that song, you know, she likes her men tall with money, and she likes her skirts a little too short. And, you know, if you got it, flaunt it. And her name is Tata, so, you know, I'm sure she flaunts those two. Gotta love that. And tonight on our show, it is all about fall, because it's fall, y'all, and it is getting chilly, and I'm in Florida, and I, like, actually had to turn the heat on, because it, like, dipped into, like, the low 50s the other night, which is, like, full winter for where I am, and so it's a little chilly.
You can't help turning everything on around you.
Well, aren't you sweet? I don't know about that, but I appreciate it. So a little warning, this is a rated R show. So we talk sex here. We say fuck here. If this is not your cup of tea, if you prefer things a little more PG-13 on our Team of Voices Blog Talk Radio channel, there are a plethora of other shows to suit everyone's fancy. We have talk shows and game shows and poetry shows of all kinds. So feel free to peruse at your leisure and enjoy. So a Team of Voices is a group of talented and wonderful people that can be found on allpoetry.com, the world's largest online poetry site. It is free to join. So go to allpoetry.com, sign in, look for a Team of Voices, and you will find us. You'll also find the links to our 18 and over group, which is the Adult Lounge, which is where we are tonight, because Sunday is fun day, and we got to keep warm somehow. No, I'm not one for super cold weather because I'm an island girl, and me and frozen tundra are not friends. We do not mix. So I wouldn't even know what to do with snow. But you are from the north, so tell me all about the fireplaces and all the things that keep you warm. I actually have a fireplace, by the way. Which is odd because I'm in Florida.
I'll do you one better. I'll tell you. I'll call it an odd kink, I guess. You know when you're walking down the street with someone, and they got that ice cold hand, and they slip it up your back, or even the cold feet on your back in the middle. I like that. I really like that. I don't know why. It's just I really enjoy it. It's pleasing and intimate to me for some stupid reason. And, you know, if someone, you know, kind of playfully threatens to stick their cold hand up my back, I'm like, do it. it's kind of like peeling that dead skin in the summer for some reason. I just, you know.
Like a sunburn?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my mother, for being all Hispanic, girly was pasty, looked Irish. My mama was milk white, freckles, red hair. I don't know where the heck she came from. But she would burn. I've never seen anything like it because I don't have that problem. And so she would burn really, really bad. And then her skin would start to separate. And I would peel her back in like sheets of skin, and it was like the best thing ever. And she's like, "You're weird like me." I was like, "I guess so," but it's just oddly satisfying. It was just like the neatest thing, especially if you could finagle it, where it was a long strip and not just like the little pieces that come off your nose. I know it's gross, not sexy, my bad, but
it's like
you know,
banana with an apple and getting that peel in one piece. Yeah,
I do that all the time. I think I'm the only one in my family that actually just does the big old spiral. And it's not a chunky spiral either, because that takes no skill. It is a nice, thin piece of skin because, you know, you don't want half your apple gone. But, so I'm that girl too, which is odd. But, so I have a fireplace.
Which is we love you.
I have a fireplace, which we usually kick on once a year. Just, you know, because it's freaking hot here. So you know, either once a year, unless the heat goes out and we have to break out the space heaters and like basically, you know, roast ourselves in front of the flame, because that's the best thing. It puts me to sleep. I love the sound. I love the warmth. So I'm constantly on my belly for until I can't stand it. Then I'm on my back until I can't stand it. So I'm just constantly rolling and rolling and rolling like I'm cooking myself in front of the fire. I might as well be a marshmallow. And I, by the day,
I went hot dog cleaner.
Well, you know, there is that. So as far as actual warmth goes, see, if my bones get cold, which takes about 40 seconds, If my bones get cold, it's a painful thing. So we try not to do that. So I'm always with the gloves, and I'm always with layers, and I'm always, as soon as it gets chilly, I me and outside do not mix, which is unfortunate because I actually like crisp air. Me and extreme heat don't mix either. I have like 10 degrees of where I exist. Other than that, it's just not fun for me.
Yeah.
But you say that you like cold. My feet are always cold. They're always, always, always cold. I personally don't think they're cold, but they feel like little ice cubes. And but if I put socks on, I sweat. Like I can be butt naked. If I have socks on, I am hot. It's just weird. So I'm constantly tucking them in everywhere I can. I used to have Basset Hound that was my foot warmer. Sometimes he would be on top. Sometimes they would be underneath. And he would just keep them warm. And he was the perfect size for a footstool. Absolutely love that dog. but what I usually rub on whoever is unlucky enough to be laying next to me is my butt, because my butt is always an ice cube. And so I will just like back in, butt out, and just be like, because if my butt is touching something warm, it just radiates from my center out, and it's fabulous. And I don't know if anybody ever actually enjoys that, but that's what they get. What'd you say?
I said you got a hot butt.
It's like a very soft and smooth ice cube. And it's always cold. Always, always, always cold to the touch. The only time it isn't is, you know, with the aforementioned swamp ass that I keep on bringing up, because it is the worst part of living in Florida. And then nothing
but
is cool.
Speaks to me.
What?
But speaks to me.
Well, there you go. Oh, that's also not the sexiest thing on the earth. Just putting that out there. You know, I mean, it happens, and, you know, nature is fine. But, yeah, I don't ever see myself having a topic about that kind of noise. I'm just saying.
Frat humor.
So all the ways to keep warm, you know, and it could be something simple. If your partner's hands tend to run hot and yours don't, just holding hands can radiate heat. Just being in proximity where, you know, sometimes people just do it for you, and you look at them, and it's like from the center of your chest it radiates out, and you don't even have to touch them, which is like my favorite thing ever. And it makes me wonder, and welcome to, you know, Rated R. It makes me wonder often, being that I do not have the requisite to know for sure what it feels like internally, but I'm assuming that every time things like that happen, your little radar goes off downstairs, because that's how that works. Whatever does it for a woman who, you know, has varying degrees of prep work, I guess, you know. That is what I equate mentally with different degrees of, well, you know, at ease soldier. And, you know, this is a rated R show. You know, I could say hard on, but, you know, I guess I'm a little too used to PG-13.
Where's the grace in that?
What? So where's the grace in that? Yeah, but, you know, so that's what I agree with that. And I keep on thinking, you know, I personally would hate to be a guy, because it really would probably, well, maybe not surprise anybody. But, you know, girls probably have fleeting thoughts of sex about as much as guys do, because we're all human, and I can't really see much of a distinction there. Especially if, you know, you actually enjoy it. So, you know, it crosses your mind every now and then. And if every time it crosses your mind and you're like, and think of things to come, then, you know, pun intended, then I would assume that again, sets off your radar. And I couldn't stand to have the world possibly know every time something accidentally floats my boat. That is not okay. I feel bad for you guys.
You could do about 10 minutes of euphemisms on the heat seeking moisture missile.
Oh, and yeah, please don't. But you know, it's it's just you know, since there is everything on one sex is kind of equal on another sex, it's all made from the same clay anyway. So, you know, that's what I equate to things. I do. I would.
When you're in a new relationship, that's one of the presents, one of the fun things, when you get to discover the uniqueness of the bits and the pieces, the size of and shape of certain things, and what sticks out and what's not, and just the individuality of it, you know. Everyone's got their little proclivities on what it is that they like as opposed to what they don't. And, you know, like you say, nobody's put together the same way. So when you're first unveiling it and you first get to say hello, you know, everything for the you know, even just, you know, how it's decorated. Is a little treat in itself.
Like it's a Christmas tree.
Well, you know, you got the landing strip, and then you got the full on fro. You know, you got and everything in between. Well, come on.
But yeah, you're right, and the thing is. I wonder if I'm the only one. I always think I'm the only one. I always think I'm weird and odd and whatnot. I'm not, you know, come to find out.
Right.
But nobody ever just said. I have a lot of very particular things that turn me off, that there needs to be a lot of love there before I find some things out to make things okay. Because if I find out too early, the answer is no. And one of those things, and I hate to bring it up because I find them decidedly unsexy. I know a lot of people like them. I don't. It's feet. If somebody's got some jacked up feet, just no. Let me love you a little first before you whip them things out, you know, because then it's character and it's endearing, and it doesn't matter what it is when you care about something, everything about them holds affection, even some jacked up toes. But if I haven't loved you yet, if I haven't gotten there, then I don't want to see it. Because the answer is I will never go to bed with you, you know.
I'm gonna mess with your head. I bet you remember the first time you saw your husband pick up his underwear with his toes.
You know, he has very long skinny toes. He has very long skinny feet, like really long and really like a size like a width of C, which is very narrow and. And yeah, and so my feet are kind of squatty, and I have these little toes and with these little toenails, and they're cute, they're girly feet, I still hate them because ew. But you know, it's not like I live in Florida. I wear like flip flops and sandals, and toes are always out somewhere, and you know, I don't have any like issues. Anyways. Nobody's ever complained about my feet, so that's a good thing. But you know, there's like monkey feet going on where like he can pick up all kinds of things. I'm lucky if I can pick anything up with my little fat nubbin. Yeah, I was like, yeah, don't do that. Do not ever hand me anything with your toes ever.
I think that's a bachelor thing. It's just, you know, it's too lazy to bend over. So we all learn. Every guy learns to pick shit up with their toes.
Yeah, but don't give it to me that way. Do it for yourself. I'm good. It's all right. It's enough that I got to wash some nasty drawers. It's all right.
Well, it's a step in the right direction, you know. At least you get us to pick up our own underwear that way.
Okay, we're going to have to really talk about something that's actually sexy because you're grossing me out. I know I'm odd. Oh, my goodness. Here is a little more gross for you. My sister's first husband. He used to like to bother me because there was a time where I wasn't just like, ew, feet. I was like, no, don't touch them to me. Don't. And to this day, unless I'm home and it's feet that I know, I can't. If people kick off their shoes underneath the table at a restaurant, yeah. I can't. I cannot deal. I can't. I just cannot deal.
In public. No.
Yeah. But my sister's first husband used to come home, take his socks and shoes off after working, you know, 12 hours, so they're sweaty, and then sit at the dining room table if I was there, even if I was eating, and then just out of nowhere, touch me with what, 20 feet, I swear I would hurl. And he would laugh, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And I would tell my sister off. I was like, rein that shit in because I'm going to hurt somebody. And he would just laugh. I was like, "How that is not okay." PTSD.
I'd sacrifice my fork for that one.
OMG, no. But okay, no more unfortunate appendages. However, fortunate appendages are okay. So keep warm, huh?
I was gonna say when it's a foot, it's not unfortunate, but you know, that's not feet we're talking about.
And we have
ways to keep warm, yeah. No, we
hello,
don't.
Hello, Mr. AP Taylor. How are you?
Hello, pretty bird. I'm very well. How are you?
I am good. We're just talking about, we went a little sideways. Yeah. And we're talking about things that turn me off a little bit, which is the opposite of sexy. So we're bringing
we're
it back
to... We're trying to talk about things.
We're coming back to the warmth of the evening. So do you have a few minutes to share with us, or do you have to read and run?
I wish I did, but I do have to do the old read and run today, unfortunately.
Well, I'm glad you can join us. So go ahead and toss it up and keep us warm and toasty with your words.
Well, yeah. No, I did see the stuff for this week, and so I'm the writing for warmth. Yes, so definitely on that. So I am just putting up my poem now, which is called. And I just worked this out, actually. Spicy when heated. And
that is awesome.
Literally, the poem is hitting all poetry as we speak, but incredibly slowly for some reason, and I'm not sure why. So
you got to hear that a little
more. Maybe it's the subject. Well, that's true, Jack. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But I have now got the poem.
I think
loaded,
there's something to be said about that slow burn.
Well, indeed. So here we are now, and it is on the adult lounge board. And this is spicy when heated, and it goes a little bit like this. A hand can warm to the touch more from one close. But how hot do content some in the holding or such? For when is autumn leaves fall, night's call? But I understand you are cold, much like pumpkin soup that needs a stirring done, lumps unfolding mould. Broth needs attention, pepper add, salt just tad, then glimmers as gold. And as much spiciness within that when stirred upon a hob, the curling as heats up, my lips turn to a grin. Less delicately do sup, maybe I spoon in rhythm a tune, or shed fires do we sing in poem.
What a lovely melding of sensuality and food, because, you know, I happen to be orally fixated, if y'all don't know that about me. So it speaks to me a wee bit. But I love that. I love the subtleties in here. How a hand can warm, especially if they're full one close. And it's true, because things just don't radiate the same if A, it's unwanted, or B, it's just not from the right person. You know, sometimes skin is just skin, and sometimes it ignites, you know, a brush fire. And I kind of love those little nuances. There's that. And I love those different nuances that kind of define a relationship and how close you are to somebody, because all the reactions, all the physical and emotional reactions are different when you're bonded. And I kind of love that. And which speaks to the whole, but how did the content sum and the holding or such? Because, you know, like I said, it can start something. It doesn't take much. You don't have to touch somebody to start something. So, you know, there's that. And I like this. I understand you're cold, much like pumpkin soup. And I'm usually not a big fan of cold soups, you know. It's just doesn't have the same appeal to me, but I do love. What?
Vichyssoise.
I do love the cold squash soups, you know, the whole fall array of those kind of cold soups. And those are the only ones that I like because they're kind of creamy and they're kind of fabulous. So you go through all of that with the pepper and just a little bit, and then it glimmers as gold. And when you say glimmers as gold, my mind did not go to the pumpkin soup. It went right back to the honey pot, you know, because that's lovely, and honey is golden. And I'm just saying, well, not particularly that honey being golden, but I'm just saying because that's a whole different show. But I love this with the spiciness within, and it gets all stirred up and heated up, and there's a delicateness in the flow of this poem that very much feels like the way the right touch kind of just radiates just a little bit. If you graze the skin a little bit, it just goes from there all on its own, and I think that is wonderfully depicted in this. So bravo. Brack and Tor. Oh, you're very welcome. What do you think of this spicy soup?
Well, I won't say orally fixated like you mentioned, but I'm definitely a foodie, and the title alone is enough to get my brain going. There's a whole thing about when you heat a spice, it's almost like turning it into a whole new spice, you know, bringing out the essential oils in it and whatnot. So just the title alone evokes some wonderful thoughts of cooking and recipes. So the thought lends itself beautifully throughout this whole piece. I've got memories of pumpkin soup. There's a little Thai restaurant down near me that they make a pumpkin chestnut soup that sometimes they sell out before the evening rush. It's that good. When people know that it's on the menu, that they order it like it's going out of style. It was amazing. And the funny thing about it, you know, they kind of toyed with the recipe a little bit, I think, because and they don't serve it cold, but the first thing they did was that when they made it initially, they made it more sweet than savory because pumpkin can be sweet, and they put I think it was cream instead of the creme fraiche. So, you know, but when they tweaked it, but both iterations of it, when they finally settled on the final thing that everyone goes nuts over, it had something in it also that was a little spicy that you know, the heat complemented the rest of the soup. And it's definitely one that can be served cold or warm, you know. I mean, but it evokes a beautiful memory for me because the soup was phenomenal. It was one of – I want to say minimalist. I you know, don't have the recipe, but it was pretty, you know, it's like it had pumpkins in it. It had roasted chestnuts in it, usually just one or two, but that was all it took. And you know, and they had the toasted pumpkin seeds, which was a beautiful touch. And the soup was absolutely phenomenal. I think they used chicken broth and the pepperoncino spices, but anyway, the idea of the heat of it, and the relationship between, you know, people and you know, the familiarity of someone bringing out the heat, spicy when heated, you know, that thought itself again carried through beautifully, and you did an excellent job, you know, permeating that thought throughout that whole piece. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to pull back that memory. It worked well.
You know, and I want to say, because I don't know how to not say things, I absolutely appreciate that whole spicy when heated, just because things are often associated with strawberries and fruits and sweet things. And not for nothing, people tend to be a lot more savory than sweet in real life. And so I kind of really like the way that kind of wafts just in its title alone. And so I kind of love that because it shows a certain affection for the reality of things, which I absolutely appreciate.
But the whole "don't judge a book by its cover" thought, you know, the mousy librarian, spicy when heated, you know, it's like, you know, well, if you bring it out in her, she ain't so mousy, you know, and that I think was what he was going for with that.
In any case,
it was that beautiful sort of relationship, as you said, pretty good between. Between things getting colder, and so you go towards more sort of hot type foods, and then at the same time that there's that beautiful interaction with the connection with somebody if you share that love of something like that.
And you married them together perfectly in that piece. I absolutely loved it. I loved that. It was all a little bit subtle, but it was still very, very clear. And I kind of like rites like that say things without having to say them, because it puts you in your interpretations directly in your memories of things. It puts you into the memory of the feeling or how you perceive that through your own self instead of being told what it is, which I think adds just life into words. So you kind of have a way of doing that with all the things you write, but it's something that I absolutely appreciate.
No, thank you, Pretty Bird. I'd rather be sort of more sort of subtle than not, if that makes sense. So
absolutely.
It just seems to work for me.
I mean, there's a time and a place for all kinds of things, but I'm right there with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah. there's something to be said to evoke a mood without having to tell them how to feel. And
correct.
That's the best part of all different genres of poetry. So I kind of love when that happens. And it happens quite often with what you write. And it did tonight, too. It pulls you into things, and then you just kind of swim around in your thoughts, which is kind of awesome because it lands in things that feel very real. And you got to love that, you know?
Thank you. Well, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great topic. I really enjoyed it and had a bit of fun with it. So my thanks.
Well, thank you very, very much. And I'm sorry that you have to run, but I am so glad that you brought that and started to hang out with us.
No. Well, it's just the time change and all. It just means it's sort of mid-afternoon here, not sort of lunchtime. So that's the problem now, unfortunately.
we'll all be caught up again, you know, next week because it'll be changed tonight, so.
Yeah, fingers crossed. No, thank you again, and we will catch up on shore soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good night, AP.
Thanks
again. Okay, bye, guys. Okay,
bye. And actually, the time changed last night, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Well, no wonder I'm so stinking tired. I actually didn't sleep for like an entire day. Like plus an hour. Like, you know. So, but I for those who don't know, I seldom sleep. If I get 2 solid hours, it's a lot. Maybe I'll sleep again in the morning for another 2 hours, but there's like a 4 or 5 hour window of exhaustion in the middle of the night where I can't function. So it's not like I can just get up and be all in the middle of making things and being productive or even making lists. My brain just, whatever comes out. It is, however, when I do my best writing, it's just I haven't been in a writing mood lately. So unfortunately, it's not working for me. But I'm exhausted. So if I start rambling, well, not really. I always ramble. So what else?
You're exhausted from being under the bus.
This is true. You know, There's no clean air down there. And for those who don't know, that is my once-a-month show on A Team of Voices. It is Under the Bus, which I did last week, or this last Tuesday, and it's the first Tuesday of every month. So I'm a little excited about that show. And now you know. So let's see. Casey said she's going to try to call, so I will wait to read her and give her a chance. But I can put you up. So your choice, do you want Call of the Wild or Skin on Skin?
Well, I don't know. One's more of a story than I don't know. Do Call
okay,
of the Wild,
pick,
I guess.
Top or bottom?
I prefer the bottom, but...
And so Call of the Wild it is. See, that was easy. I know, a dangerous question.
That's what they say about me.
So it is on the board. I will play you. Well, if I could, actually refresh my junk and reorganize the sound clips and pay attention to what the heck I'm doing, because apparently I have issues. It will not undo the naughty. What is wrong with Blog Talk? Well, we're going to just type your name in, and there you are. Okay. Did I not put the other one in? I could have sworn I did. I might have put it in here twice. So this may or may not be the right one. Let's see.
Call of the Wild by Raconteur. Limbs entwined under a blanket of stars, two sleeping bags zipped together. Children and dogs frolic gleefully, celebrating a night of perfect weather. Campfire crackles and pops, arbitrarily scattering embers into the wind to waltz with the fireflies. The air still heavy with the scent of burnt coffee and s'mores. Luna looks on as one by one, sleep transports everyone but us to the land of Morpheus. Rushing stream murmurs, accompanied by a symphony of crickets singing backup for some frogs, drowning out all thoughts of civilization. But it was the way the moonlight caught your hair and the desire reflected in your gaze that made the urge to kiss you impossible to resist. The crisp night air encouraged us to cling tightly to each other as our clothing finds its way to the bottom of our sleeping bags. Our breathing becomes the map and compass, guiding fingertips over goosebumps and mouths across hidden valleys, blazing a trail to the pinnacle of our passions. Winding the cord from the sleeping bags around your wrists, I pin your hands above your head and sink my teeth into your collarbone as I stake you out like a pup tent. Your ankles lock over my hips as your fingernails dig trenches in my back, causing our bodies to shudder to the rhythm of the call of the wild. End poem.
From family camp out to that sleeping bag bondage. You got to love that transition. So, everything's all fabulous and it's chilly and this will definitely keep you warm. Where does it start for me? This part, this part, this part, this in the center. but it's the way the moonlight caught your hair and the desire reflected in your gaze that made the urge to kiss you impossible to resist. I love that because that's how it all starts. It's not the first moment you touch somebody. It starts before that, a glance, a smile. It's just something about a moment and how they look that just wells up. And so I love that something that innocent or seemingly innocent leads into that kind of primal passion, you know? And I like our breathing becomes the map and compass guiding our fingertips over goosebumps, because here's the thing. So for those who don't know or think you know, but when I start talking, you're going to realize you don't. There is so much to be said for, you know, paying a little attention to what the hell's going on, because it's not just about any of sounds that you elicit. It is the way your skin moves under touch. It's those goosebumps, the way the hairs stand on end, the way the color flushes, the way scent rises, the way temperature changes, the way eyes glaze over. All these little tiny things often, too often, go unnoticed. And when they go unnoticed, you're missing the chance to play the finest symphony on the world's first instrument of skin. It's who needs a freaking drum when you've got a whole lot going on with all the erogenous zones? Because you don't have to be near the tatas to have them tighten and perk up. You don't have to do, and in fact, nature will do that on its own on those chilly nights, but you don't have to touch them to have them be aroused and gain sensitivity and all that stuff. So pay attention. And I find that because girls tend to, unfortunately, be a little bit more demure at times, that they will pay more attention early on, where guys are just like, it's a hole, and want to dive right in to start with before you gain the knowledge of, well, I can make this last all night long. And some people, male or female, just don't ever get to the point where they pay that close of attention. They just don't notice. And it perplexes me, because to me, that's where the beauty is. When you can play, when you can fine tune that and keep them where you want them on that escalating passion, where then it becomes a dance, you know, where you can push them to moan or they'll whimper because you pull back just as things start to peak. And there's something to be said about that kind of, you know, conducting of the symphony. I love when you use the cords and, you know, whatever's handy to tie them up willingly. Of course, everything that we talk about here is consensual. Just a disclaimer, putting that out there. Because the beauty in those relationships, and even if they ebb and flow, the beauty in those relationships to me is the trust. It has nothing to do with, well, mostly nothing to do with the act itself. That's the frosting on the cake. The beauty of it, where the passion is that you are vulnerable and opening yourself up and trusting. And then to have somebody trust you that way, to allow you that kind of control, is a beautiful thing. And it speaks a lot about the relationship. So I appreciate that, because that feels like love to me. So it's all families, and I was like, well, now we know how you got them kids, you know? And I absolutely, absolutely enjoy that whole transition from just a happy day camping in the fall to, you know, heated passion, all because the moon caught her just right and you just had to. And it's romantic, you know, sleeping bag bondage, maybe it doesn't scream romance to most people, but the transition with which you painted it really is. You know, I would take that or poetry about that evokes those images and those feelings over, you know, roses and champagne any freaking day of the week. because while I like random flowers for no reason, I would really rather you just bring your ass home and give it to me, because I don't need the rose petals. Every now and then it's nice. You know, I'm not poo-pooing romance or Valentine's Day store-bought ideas of romance, because it's nice. It's nice when somebody thinks about something to send you this or to give you those. I like those little naughty texts out of nowhere in the middle of the day when you know they're really, really busy, and then they're like, listen, this is what's going to happen to you when I get home. And I'm like, yes, it is. And because then it's on your mind all day. And they don't ever have to talk to you again until they get home, because it'll be there stewing in the anticipation. And then by the time they get home, they better not have changed their mind, because they don't get that choice. You know, keep me up all day long. You lay there. I'll do the work. It's fine. You know? But you don't get to back out, damn it. So I don't know. There's something to be said about primal passion, about, you know, dirty animal sex, like the grunting, sweating, whatever. First of all, if it doesn't end there, you might want to try again, because it doesn't always start there. But, you know, you want to be in a place where there is no inhibitions, where you can just have at it, things flopping everywhere, nobody gives a crap, because it all feels good, and it's and nobody's judging anybody. You want a relationship that you can do that in. But it's nice when it starts with a slow tease, or it starts with nothing. Like, you're laying there in like your jammy shirt and a pair of socks, and you know, for some reason, that just does it for them, you know. And then they look at you with that look, and it's not necessarily a I'm going to devour you look. It's more of that playful, I just, you know, when it wells up and it just comes out in like the glint of an eye, and you just know, and it's more of a playful thing, and I love all of that, you know. There's I mean, don't get me wrong, like I said, I am all for the hard passion, but sometimes you're lazy. Like, I get lazy. I'm like, I want it, but I don't know if I want it that bad, you know? Because, you know, sometimes you're actually tired, but that doesn't mean that you don't want it. It's just, so, you know, there's a time and a place for all kinds of things, and that's not to say once you get started, it's not going to, you know, like, oh, I'm not too tired for this. But sometimes it's nice when it's a little bit more subtle. So, you know, I don't know what I started talking about, but that's where we ended up, because I always go sideways. So who knows? It's all good. So I'm going to go ahead and put mine has a Christmas tree, which is not full. But this, like I said, I have been having a hard time writing anything lately. I don't know what the heck my problem is. I'm all stressed out since I've been sick. And so hopefully I'll get over my crap, because it's ridiculous. But this is The Warmth of You. So this is one that I wrote. Oh, look, that's funny. She's in a shirt and big old socks. Well, yeah, big old socks. So pretend the Christmas tree is pumpkins, and here we go. This is The Warmth of You. It goes like this. Your arms hold the warmth of winter in glittered snowdrifts that melt in proximity before your heat blankets my being, melting my resolve into yours. They are in the quietude of a moment, at ease in the subtleties of time shared. You hold me to the tradition of mistletoe, taking every opportunity to place your lips on mine. An act which transforms shadows to fallen powder, proving that there is still magic in Christmas, and Santa does grant wishes. Your skin brushes mine alive, and a glance tips the scales. Ever in your favor, you guide time to ride waves as fingers trace trails your lips follow. Temperature rises without a fire and overwhelms the senses into a universe of two as one. Carried on passion's wings to empyrean dreams realized, the taste of your skin feeds hunger, yearning to be sated, building in moments that climb to the apex slowly, deliberately, expertly. Your arms hold the warmth of winter, melting my resolve into yours. End poem.
That's so many beautiful thoughts in that. I think what sticks out the most is the line that you repeat in the end, from the beginning, you know, that little bookending thing that we so love. your arms hold the warmth of winter, you know. It's almost like, you know, calling yourself hot, you know, but in an indirect way. Well, I mean, seriously, he would. So you take that as an extension of that, you know. I don't take that as the narrator calling themselves hot. I take it more like, you know, that's his thought. You know, the one he considers you the warmth of winter, not you know, the conceited side of it. But you know, because you're the last one that I would ever consider conceited in that regard. But anyway, there's somewhat of a joke too that this evokes in my mind too. About, you know, a loving family, you know, and you know, you wind up with the children, but, you know, typical guy would rather play with the box that they came in. So, you know, it speaks to that for me of, you know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, or that he came in, depending on the timing. This is totally gorgeous. You know, there's an intimacy and a familiarity to it that can only be between two people that are in love. The kisses, you know, falling under the mistletoe, that's, again, you know, a liberty that only someone that's really, you know, close can take, you know, because under the wrong circumstances, it's like, yeah, go brush your teeth. But, you know, it's one of those things that you know, the holidays bring about and you know, the coldness. I mean, it's always a ploy, a good excuse that you know, guys learn early on, you know, oh, body heat, you know. So it's something that they fall back on. But when you actually, you know, involved with someone, attracted to them in a happy place in your relationship, you know, that proximity, it's almost impossible to get close to someone like that and not want to, you know, have a little friction, as they say.
Friction. That's funny. Like the kids are, I just can't get over the box that they came in. That is absolutely fucking hysterical. I get that this poem was, you know, Christmas and mistletoe, but it kind of still is that feeling where, when you're cold,
yeah.
You know, and, my skin is usually cold. I'm usually like sweating balls, but my skin is usually cool to the touch, which
mm-hmm.
is just so misleading. Here, do you need a blanket? No, don't touch me with that. I'm hot already. Leave me alone. Yeah, and but sometimes their skin is just the right temperature, and it's not enough to make you sweat, but it is enough to keep you warm, and it's lovely. Oftentimes, you know, I'm pushing people off me, like away from me, because when their body temperature is that much warmer than mine, then it's physically uncomfortable for me. Yeah, I can't sleep sweaty, and I can't sleep without a sheet, like something covering me. So, you know, it's just, I'm a mess. I am a mess on all fronts, and that is okay.
It's more about the feeling than the season, you know, like you say. You know, the whole idea of us as, you know, human beings seeking shelter in the house and everything, you know, if you don't venture outside, you really don't know what's going on, because, you know, you're in a controlled climate. So that you know, coldness of outside, sometimes is carried in, like you say, on your skin. But, you know, it's more of a feeling of the season and something that the person evokes in their laughter or in their just, you know, the way that they look at you. And it leads to things.
Yeah, I tend to love Christmas. I love Christmas. Like, I love spooky season, and I love Christmas. And so this transition of November has me in the middle of, because the end of one and, ooh, for the beginning of the other. So, you know, it's all food, which I love, but it doesn't hold any kind of whatever for the holiday.
Sweat.
Yeah, I'm also not the kind of person that's going to put their Christmas tree up on November 1st, but I will if I'm lucky, put it up, you know, on Black Friday, or at least that weekend, get it out and stand it there or get lights on it or something, because it's never just all at once for me, because no. And, you know, if the kids put stuff on the Christmas tree, I tend to, when they go to sleep, fix it, because I'm not anal. It's
that doesn't go there. Move that.
But I don't say that. Well, I do now that they're bigger. I'm like, you know, you might want to put, you know, there's a space over here, there's a space over there. But when they're little, oh, that's beautiful. That's perfect right there. That is awesome. All 16 of those in the same branch are perfect. And then and then they go to sleep, and I fix it, and then they look at it like they don't remember that they put 16 of them on one branch. And then they were all like, it's so pretty. I was like, you did such a great job. Because, you know, it's fine.
You know where bowls go.
Yes, I do. Thank you for noticing.
Yes.
And and Rooster's on the board. He said that my right was heart melting and swooning and sensually superb, because he's awesome. So thank you, Rooster. I appreciate that. And Deb has a SoundCloud for she is watching football with her son. And you know what? My sons aren't big on football. And while I'm not the biggest football fan, I like to watch a game every now and then. And I tend to be a little raucous, you know. I yell at the TV. I yell at the TV with boxing, too. I grew up on boxing. And I'm kind of picky about the boxers I root for. So I'm like, no, bad form. I'm not watching you anymore. Because I'm picky about everything. It's just my nature, I guess. I personally don't think I'm picky. I think I just know what I like and what I don't like, and that there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Do you love Mike Tyson?
No. Here's my problem. I liked him when he was younger. But I take no joy in a 30-second fight. I was like, give me, you know, the 12 rounds down to the split decision. Give me the long, drawn-out, bloody mess. You know,
I was talking more about his biting of the ear than anything else.
Oh no, that ruined him for me, to be honest with you. There is no eating of the people in boxing. That is not okay. But like, I'll sit there and I'll like watch football with my niece, and we're all like, you know, yelling at stuff, and my boys are like, eh. I'm like, what the heck, man. It's like I learned. My father tried to teach me football all the while when I was growing up, and I learned football from marching band. That's when that happened, and I only learned because I had to know what was going on a little bit in order to know what songs were coming up to play. Because you played this song on when you know at this down, and we played this song at you know for a field goal. You played, so I had to know those little things. I didn't know what half that stuff meant until. I liked this one drummer, and he was all about the football, and so I had to learn some shit because I didn't want to look like a moron, and so there you go. My father must have explained it to me 16,000 times, and it did not sink in, but, you know, throw a cute boy in the mix, and I'm learning some stuff. And so I would love to, like, watch, like, the Super Bowl. I'd like to watch a game with – all of my boys and have them actually be interested and not sit there because I asked them to, you know? So I'm kind of a little jealous that she gets that beautiful family time. I'm not jealous. I don't begrudge her anything. I think it's awesome. But I don't have those moments because my boys are not very sports oriented, you know? They're very musically inclined and very, you know, band oriented, which of course I am very proud of because I was the world's biggest band geek, and that is also not at all sexy. So to bring the sexy back, I'm going to play Deb because she is quite sensual. So Poise for Pleasure. Well, it will be if I can find it again. There it is. Okay. So this is Poise for Pleasure.
Poise for Pleasure. Canopy glows with amber. Tool draped over, lights exposed. This is an invitation. I wait, seductively posed. Cool satin sheets on the bed. headboard made of wooden beams, eye bolts strategically placed, lets incite erotic screams. Brown hair, organza-wrapped naked skin, slender, sensual shoulders, but not 1 ounce of chagrin. Back arched to accentuate, transparent silk covers breasts, long legs to wrap around you, I'll fulfill naughty requests. Smooth head to toe and ready, pink-tinted lady bits ache. Don't keep me waiting, baby. We'll have fun, make no mistake.
See, I told you she'd bring the sensual. And, you know, awesome, 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 awesome. I do say that a lot. It was brought to my attention the other day. And, and not in a bad way, by the way. But I never really noticed it, but now I notice it all the time. I was like, oh, I think I need more words to add to it. But I absolutely love this because there's a softness in her depiction of this. You've got the all these diaphanous materials. You've got tulle and you've got organza and you've got the silk and all of these. They're all soft and some of them are transparent and they're all different feels. The tulle has a little bit of roughness to it, but it glows wonderfully, adding ambiance to the room. And, you know, and in the midst of all of the satin sheets that are cool to the touch, you've got a wooden headboard with those strategically placed eye bolts because you know what's coming then. And I love that that there is no shame there, that there's just the wanting ways and back arched. And not for nothing, guys, y'all don't do it that often, but if you are striking a pose and you're arching that back, it's easy if you're face down, but if you are face up, it is not the easiest thing to hold that position and pretend to be sexy. You know, it's only sexy until it starts to hurt, because not the most comfortable thing for an extended period of time. But it does give you that visual when she says, oh, we have a caller. Hold on a second. Hello, hello. Who may ask is calling?
Hello, pretty bird. This is Richard phoning from Northern Ireland.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I don't know if you got a chance to hear Deb's poem, but we're going over comments.
Yes, I did. It was a real hot one, a real tease, wasn't it?
It really was. I'm loving the way there's little things in here that she doesn't dwell on. She mentions the eyeballs, but she doesn't talk about tethers unless it's one of those pieces of fabric, which, you know, works for me too. But then she's like smooth head to toe and ready. And that is a very visual thing. And then, you know, pink tinted lady bits ache, you know, that's when you know the anticipation is good, when you're aching for it. So whatever it is that got her to this point, you know, yes, they will have fun. Make no mistake. And I love how this, is very, very sexy. It's very, very passionate, but it's also has that touch of romance because it's got all that softness to it, you know, minus the eyeballs, because, you know, sometimes you need something that's strong enough. So, Rooster, since you got a chance to hear it, what are your thoughts?
Well, considering here, Pretty Bird, it was just what I needed at 4 a.m. in the morning to get me woken up, and it certainly woke me up and, and cleared my head and everything. It was beautifully written. Deborah Lee was fantastic at writing this kind of genre. Her entendres and metaphors are so well conceived and so well put on paper and beautiful, beautiful poetic words. And so I could not have picked out one verse or one stanza. Everyone was marvelous. And I must say, if she's listening, congratulations, Deborah Lee. That was beautifully written to the theme of tonight's show. And I'll comment later on beneath the poem. But super poetry. Well done.
Absolutely. And Raconteur, what are your thoughts on Deb's piece?
Yeah, I think you kind of glossed over the softest part of it, and probably my favorite, the ending. You know, when she says, "Don't keep me waiting, baby." I mean, that speaks to me of you know, the desire, and you know, some of the other unspoken things. I think, you know, that are more expressed in action than the words that she gives us. You know, she's got the textures and everything in that, and you know, the feeling and the mood, but I mean, I think that sums everything up, at least for me. You know, the not even anticipation, the desire, you know, I don't know. That's the most beautiful part to me. I mean, the whole thing is gorgeous. The whole mood and the setting and you know, the eye bolts that she kind of glosses over, like you said. You know, that's one of those things that like, you know, people are going to see the bed, but you don't want to make it obvious. You know, so the eye bolts are there, but you know, they're not there. So you know, I appreciate something like that. It's like, you know, if you look under the mattress, there's these little straps that have, you know, but nobody's looking under the mattress, so nobody knows they're there. You know, it's a lovely thought. I mean, the whole thing is beautifully executed and evocative of, you know, sensuality and intimacy.
Absolutely. And because there's a grace to the way she writes, it's easy for her to throw little hints at us earlier on, which is why so many of us kind of were freer to write in this genre, because she's just like, hey, you know, think of this or do that, and kind of pulls you into a freedom of finding your own voice. So it's kind of love the way she does that. And so thank you, Miss Depp. And Rooster, I put you up on the board. I can't wait to hear you say in that lovely lilt of yours, it's fall, y'all, because I don't do country much, but I do say y'all all the time. I say y'all, all y'all, and that's just about as country as I get. But before we get started reading your poem, let's say hello to Lady A. Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
So we have Rack and Rooster here with us.
Oh, hi, Rack and Rooster. Where
Hello,
have
Lady
you been?
A. Long time no hear.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, Lady A. You say that better than I can.
Did you read your poem already?
Nope, he's going right now. I figured I'd pull you in before he started.
Excellent.
So whenever you're ready, Rooster.
Thank you very much, Pretty Bird. First of all, can you all hear me okay?
Yep, loud and
clear. Oh, super duper. You were saying about y'all. That's not a phrase we use really over here. it's more, you guys would use it a lot more. But and also the fall, we refer to it as autumn. Fall is not commonly used here, but means the same thing. And so whenever I saw the title of the subject tonight, I thought I'd just use it in the title of the poem. So it's called It's Fall, Ye All. So if you're all sitting comfortably, I'll begin.
Mm-hmm.
It's fall, ye all, hear swallows call. Farewell song, southerly soon gone. High time to fly, seek warmer climes. Bees, bots, birds, hedgehogs prepare. Safe haven to sleep, make ready. Industrious work ethic, sign of times. Feathered fowl, mindful of fox howl, roost high on wooded perch. Harvest season, with granaries to laden. And I too, like fallen leaf bid adieu to passing folk both old and new. with canine lupus, hiatus, light fading, and poem. Thank you very much, guys, for allowing me to read the listening. Pretty Bird, it's been a pleasure as always. Goodbye. Goodbye, my friends.
You don't want to wait for your comment?
Thank
you. Oh, he dropped. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to comment anyway. So, first of all, I love that he put "It's Fall, Y'all" in there, because that's such a Southern, like American Southern thing. And
yeah.
And just like, you know, the plural of you know, you all, the plural of you in like Brooklyn is you, like with an S, which I can never use. I can't, it breaks my brain. But I do use y'all. And so I kind of love that he affectionately put that in there, his title. And this is all at the end there. It's an I too, and it's all wolf. I'm like, but no, you're a rooster. But I love this. I love that this is exactly what the season looks like in nature, where all these animals are preparing, if they're not there already, are preparing to go to where it's warm, or to tuck in for the cooler months. And so it is very, it kind of pulls you into like the woodlands, basically. Like for me, it was very, very vivid, and I can see all the little scurrying things, and it's kind of like a Disney montage, only with real animals all preparing their dens and whatnot. And I really appreciated that. It very much felt like fall, and it very much depicted the warmth of fall for these woodland creatures. So I loved it. I love hearing you read, Rooster. I hope you're still listening. I absolutely love that you called. It means a lot to me. And I'm glad that this time it was a clear connection. And just, I absolutely appreciate you. So Lady A, what are your thoughts on this fall piece?
Well, I thought it was lovely, and he has a real style to himself, and he's earthy, and his choice of characters in with the livestock and you know, bees and bats and bears, and I think that was a really great touch to it, and the alliteration within that as well, he's got that throughout the whole, you know, feathered fowl, mindful of fox, howl. He's an animal person, because I know that he has a little farm of some kind. I don't know how large it is or how small it is, but then he said, and I too, like a falling leaf, bid adieu to passing folk, both old and new, with canis lupus, hiatus, light fading. And that was an interesting, you know, when he included the wolf in there. And it was just a really very much a rooster poem. I liked it.
Yep, and he left us a note on the board that is his pup and his legs in that picture. So he got to share his own little doggy with us, which is absolutely adorable. And so, Rack, what are your thoughts on Rooster's poem?
He makes me think of like James Joyce, this beautiful writing, I almost want to say traditional Irish style, not that I would know it from anything else, but it feels wrong that you made him say y'all. he was very gracious, I think, to say that. You know, it's funny. You know, people talk about the accent sometimes, there's actually a comedian that's got like a 5 minutes of his act that he talks about when he went to Ireland. When it became half past the hour, he went around getting everyone to say 4:30, 4:31, because he liked it said 30. You know, it's like, who like 30? You know, and like 5 minutes of his act was devoted to that part of the accent. And the lilt of the Irish accent definitely lends itself to talking about nature, I think. But you know, being in touch with it is undeniable as well. And when you combine the two, you get a right like no other. And that's exactly what he gave us. It was absolutely stunning, Rooster. I really appreciated it.
You see, and I did not make him say y'all. He put it in there affectionately. He's fabulous. I'm just pointing that out. And so I have a little Irish, and I hope that you don't take offense to it, because I really don't mean it that way, and it's not even my joke, but here's a story. Jeff Dunham is a comedian that does, he has puppets, and he's quite funny.
Uh-huh.
And he has this one puppet, and there's a sound bite. I had a sound bite. I had a bunch of the sound bites of a bunch of his stuff, because they're absolutely hysterical when taken one at a time. So me and the genius that I am, one of his puppets in one of his skits said, and I have a full Irish accent, so sounding like a Lucky Charms commercial. He says, and I have an Irish wiener. It's magically delicious. And the genius that I am made that a ringtone for somebody who never, ever, ever calls me. They only ever text. They never call. And so I had a house full of seven kids. And at 8 o'clock at night, as loud as can be from across the house, is, I have an Irish wiener. It's magically delicious. Over and over and over before I can get to it. I was like, oh sweet Lord. So that was the last time I had that as a ringtone for anything. I just thought it was hysterical, just knowing it was there, knowing that it would never ring,
right.
And then it rang at the most inopportune moment. So
it would never ring. Yeah.
So, you know, Murphy's Law and whatnot. So that's my little story.
Wasn't
Irish, apparently so. So Lady A, did you bring us something fabulous?
Well, I don't know if it's fabulous, but it's a little poem that I wrote the other day. Let me see.
Yeah, she brought us something fabulous. She showed up.
That is true. See how sweet you are.
All right, here it is in the room now. Am I in the right room? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. It's in the room now. It is a brevity, and it's called I Love It When. I love it when you touch me with your fingertips, when you kiss me with your tender lips. I love it when our bodies touch skin to skin, when our love connects us, our souls twin. I love it when your letters come, like clouds open for the sun, when your words of love are gold spun. I love it when you call my name, into my ear sets me aflame. When you breathe upon my neck, thrills me, I am tamed. I love it when I miss you, return to me, we are renewed. When you watch me sleep, awaken to your quietude. I love it when you love me, give all of you to me. When I feel that love envelop me, oh, how I love thee. End poem.
This is beautiful. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of ass in your pictures, which I love, by the way. I'm like, ooh, there's gonna be some booty, but it was just love. And I mean, there's booties everywhere. There's his booty and her booty, and then active booty. I'm kind of visually, I have like ADHD right now, just looking at booty everywhere. But they're lovely images. It's not like it's just they're lovely images. But when you started reading, first of all, there's a softness in the way you read this that is painful to me. Like there's a longing in it that I'm having a bit of a visceral reaction to, which is kind of wonderful when words can evoke that. But I think the way you read it was really, really moving. And that's this part.
Thank
here.
You.
Especially, you're welcome. At this part here, especially, I love it when I miss you, because obviously missing someone is painful, but it's that return to look forward to that makes it worthwhile, and it's like all the love rushes in at once. Not that it ever leaves, but it's all the joy rushes in at once. And so you never really see it depicted that way, that, you know, that whole absence makes the heart grow fonder thing. It sounds lame when you put it that way, but when you put it into actual feelings, that the hope of that return or the anticipation of that return kind of is its own reward. It's almost like a payment for the absence, because it's a profoundly joyous thing. And And when they watch you sleep, oh, I have a love-hate relationship with that whole entire thing. It's because I love watching somebody sleep. I kind of fall in love in that place where they look like babies or like that innocence, because there's no stress or anything on their face. There's just sweetness. And you can just soak in every freckle and everything and kind of like burn it into your memory. And it's hard sometimes not to just want to stroke their face. But if I wake up and there's somebody staring at me, I freak out. It's not that I love the idea that they do the same thing, but if I wake up to it, like if we're like laying next to each other and they're inches away from me and I see eyeballs, when I open my eyeballs, it freaks me out. I don't know what it is. It's been that way since I was a little girl. So if they're like watching me, like sitting up on the bed where they're not 6 inches away from my face, I'm okay with that. But just, I can't open my eyeballs to eyeballs because it's the freakiest thing on the planet. But there's just such love in this. And I love it when your letters come. And here's the thing. I hate texting. I hate texting. There's no grace in texting. There's no proper grammar in texting. There's just a bunch of laziness in texting. I don't want to talk to you. Just text me. I'll get to it when I get to it. And I hate the distance in that disconnect. When somebody handwrites you a letter, and if they do it, especially at regular intervals while they're away, that takes consideration and thoughtfulness and affection, and it means something for them to take the time to go. And even if they're just, you know, passing by the hotel desk and here, can you mail this for me? They have to take the time to do that, to sit there for however long it takes them to write and immerse themselves in thoughts of you. So you don't ever have to question if you're on their mind, because, you know, people don't always have the time to call because, you know, busy is busy. And so I love that. I hate that it's gone out of fashion, because there is there's a certain amount of depth and profundity to affection that comes in the form of a handwritten letter. And I think it's an underutilized medium, and it's wonderfully romantic, and it's something that is an undeniable thing when it's written in their own hand. You know, there's something real about it. And I love that. I love that you put that in there. This whole entire thing is just gorgeous. That whole first stanza is just gorgeous. And this is wildly sensual without going near anything that is physical, really, except for the touching of the fingertips or the tender kisses. And that skin-to-skin contact it can be anything. It can be holding hands. It doesn't matter what part of your body. It can be those cold feet that Rack was talking about, tucked into to a warm back at night. It's just, there's something about that connection. I oftentimes sleep better. Like if I'm restless, I sleep better if there's a hand on me, you know? And it's a comfort thing. It's a safety thing. It just puts you at ease in all the levels of yourself. And I think you capture that really, really well. But it's that pain. There's a longing in this that underlies the love that breaks my heart, but in such a beautiful way. This, I'm saving this. This is one of my absolute favorites I've heard you read. It's lovely. So, Rack, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you said longing quite a few times. That was the first thing that struck me as well, the longing in it. But, you know, I felt a progression to it, too, that made me take the line that you called out about, I love it when I miss you, just a little differently, I think, because the idea of that to me is you know, it's almost like a thanks for the memories thought. You know, she lists all these other things that she, you know, loves leading up to that point. So when she says I love it when I miss you, it's like recalling all of those moments, you know, that touch and that kiss that she's longing for. The idea at that point of missing him, in the envelopes all of those prior thoughts as well. So, you know, it made it a very profound thought for me. So, I mean, the whole piece was beautiful, like Pretty Bird said, Lady A. It was really a gorgeous piece. And, you know, that there's a longing and a love in it that's, you know, hard to articulate, which you managed to do very well.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're saying that you guys are really generous and kind with your comments. I appreciate it.
Nah, we're honest. And and Rooster's on the board saying it was beautiful, sensual, brevity, close, compassionate, and so eloquently read. Kudos and brava. So that was lovely.
Aww.
And I have a surprise. I'm so excited. Hello, Miss Sweetie.
Oh.
You're lying.
No, I see her number right there.
No.
Say something, woman.
I am saying
you
something.
Mute?
You can't hear me.
Well, I hear that now.
Yay.
See, I'm not lying.
I have a horrible connection.
Hey, sweetie, how are
you? I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. You said you're hoarse?
No, I have a horrible connection, so if you I fade in and out, I apologize.
It's all right. You're probably just at that wrong tiny spot of good connection in your house. You're okay.
I'm in Wyoming, so there are mountains and cows and antelope that play.
Well, there you go. Now that song's going to be in my head for a long time. Did you
Wyoming is in a state of the question.
It's not a state. It's a what?
It's a question.
Oh, that's funny.
Wyoming.
Did you bring us something delicious, sweet?
I'm sure I can find something delicious, but what's our category or what are we talking about?
It's fall, y'all. So anything about keeping warm or anything you want to bring, because I'm good with it. We tend to be a little lax here, so if you're going to be warm or steamy or, you know, downright sweaty, I'm good with it.
Alrighty then.
As long as you're attached to it, we're going to eat it up with a spoon.
This is true.
Alrighty then.
This is true.
Well, I have to go and look. It might take me a minute because I'm on my phone.
You're fine. You're perfectly fine. It's not like we don't have time. I'm going to put, in the meantime, I'm going to put Miss Casey Day up. She said that she was going to try to call, but it's 11:30. And she's our last one on the board, I believe, that isn't one of us. So I want to make sure that we get her on air because she has only been here a few weeks in this group. And I tell you what, I freaking love the way she writes. I mean, I do. It's the one she brought us last week was like just fabulous. And I have to put that on my list too. I don't know if I did. I meant to, but I'm scatterbrained, so it'll get there eventually. And there is a SoundCloud, so I'm going to go ahead and play that. And are you guys ready? Do you see it?
Read to me.
Okay, here it is.
The Secret Garden. Give me your love. Wrap it up and pour it over my begging flesh. Lay with me among lambs in soft spring meadow. Stretch your roots down into the earth and feel my heartbeat there. Smell of sweet dirt as we become clay, molding and folding into each other, transfiguration. Artesian hands gliding, mesmerizing and intoxicating. Taste of plump peach glistening on our lips as we pass back and forth the forbidden fruit of our youth. And we lay under strawberry skies and cotton candy clouds, kissing secret tears, dreaming of the day when we don't have to escape.
Oh, so I love her. Give me your love, wrap it up and pour it over my begging flesh. So that by itself could be like a little mini poem. And it is hunger and absolutely sensual and absolutely loving. Like you just want to bathe in that and all aspects of that. And then she's like, lay with me among lambs, which to me says, you know, says innocence. And all of this with the secret garden comes down down the page. And where is it? That whole molding and folding into each other, that transfiguration as those two become one. But here it is. Taste of plump peach glistening on our lips as we pass back and forth the forbidden fruit of our youth. So that screams innocence to me, which is lovely. And that whole, they're not supposed to either forbidden for whatever reason, or, you know, it might be, you know, young love is always poo-pooed on by adults because we know how that can entrap a young heart, or ensnare a young heart. But there's just this loveliness, these springtime almost depictions where you've got your lambs and you've got your ripening fruits and you've got all of these things that are new life and these dreams, these cotton candy clouds, dreaming of a day when we don't have to escape. And there's a lot of longing today because, you know, nobody wants to have to not be able to scream their love out loud, you know. It's when, especially when it's when you're young and you just kind of want to glow, you know. When you're older, sometimes not so much. But when you're young, it's everything. Like there is, especially if it's before your heart's ever really been broken, it is all good things. It is the best of everything. And when you can't be together, it's painful. So there's a touch of that. But that whole, give me your love, wrap it up and pour it over my begging flesh. I love that because it's an undeniable thing that they go to this place and explore these fruits because they must, you know, even though they're told they can't, or they're told they mustn't, they must. And I think that that is very well painted in these words. So, Raconteur, what are your thoughts of the Secret Garden?
Yeah, dude, it's a brevity. You took every line. I knew you were going to mention that passing back and forth, the forbidden fruit of our youth. I was drawn to that line as well. But the whole thing speaks of, like you said, of an innocence, of a longing that youthful, I guess, priorities don't allow, you know, the way your life unfolds when you're younger and you have other things going on, which led to that last line for me. It just spoke of a complicated life, and, you know, you don't always have time for those passionate moments that you want to make time for, which, you know, again, so the longing and the absence makes the heart grow fonder thought and things like that. But, you know, again, being younger and I don't know how many times I said it, but, you know, I'm making it sound like it's two teenagers in the backseat of a car, but it's much more beautiful than that. I mean, you know, there's a desire there that remains unfulfilled for whatever reason. And, you know, it's, you're talking about leading up to being able to do that unfettered. And, you know, that's a beautiful thought. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of give into an emotion. You know, for me, it speaks of the abandon of that desire that you really have to give into, because you could stifle it really easily and almost squash it if, you know, under the right circumstances or the wrong circumstances, I guess, depending on how you look at it. So, you know, it's always a beautiful thought to be thought of in that way. And, you know, it speaks to me of that, too. Beautifully done.
Lovely. And Lady A, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought that, let me just get back to it here. I thought it was really beautiful. I don't think I've read this poet before, at least I can't recall. But I thought, I loved the opening line, give me your love and wrap it up and pour it over my begging flesh. I thought that the whole thing was very gently written. The descriptions were wonderful and tender. Artisan's hands gliding, mesmerizing and intoxicating. You know, the plump peach. She wrote this in a very sensual way, and it was... and done in a classy way. I thought it was lovely.
I fully concur. And sweet, your thoughts?
I thought the stunning imagery fueled the word passion in every sense of the word, from imagery to feeling to conquering the lexicon of the word. There's not a definition that you can't touch or taste that isn't written in this poem. I just think it's stunning.
Absolutely. And she has brought us some tasty treats over the past couple of weeks. When this one is about as innocent, I think, as she has brought us, that's very loving and very tender. And while we all kind of have that nuance to them, She has brought us some tasty treats from the dark side, and I absolutely love when there's no shame there, when you can just mention things in passing like it's an everyday thing, because mm-hmm. to me it is. So to a lot of people it isn't, but, you know, to us here, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so I love how she can wrap herself around all these different factions of sensuality with ease. So absolutely appreciate the way she writes and that she writes for us. So that's really awesome. Like, woohoo, like I get excited. Like I do. I'm like, oh, yay. Ask Rack. I get stupid over things. I really do. So, Sweet Pea, are you going to read your little nugget for us?
Yes, I am.
I am so excited.
All right. This is called Bear Rug. Winds of winter bit skin bitter, snow-covered mountain ground, deep in caves unknown, he laid my body down. Sapphire and emerald shimmer, frozen waterfalls color, wrapped in grisly shades, golden browns, fire crackles in the round. Gently hails my open wound. Silent are his judgments as I claw through stones, the moon. Our trust is tethered, lust is burning. He waits to taste. I beg for him as a hiss passes through my lips. Petting in curls, he glides his hand over his shaft, poetic rhythm. My mouth goes dry until he's finished. I bathe in wild flower oil, cascade my cinnamon locks down my back, around my breast. Mouth stained in red lipstick, I waited to ingest. No more watching, I shall be fed. I disobeyed my master as I sucked and licked his body. He bowed to my desires. I wrapped my legs around his head. He drank my honey with power. No longer human, our sexual hunger grew. We growled, we scratched, we you were one. Bodies shivered, minds exploded. Wrapped in grisly shades of golden brown, fire crackled in the round. Bodies shiver and pulse.
I do so enjoy the way you read. You know, I love the primal feel of how you guys get into it, how it's, you start with, well, you have the, my mouth stained in red lipstick. I waited to ingest. No more watching. I shall be fed. You know, as those, as those mermaid curls of crimson, you know, fall down to your waist, covering your boobs, and full on, you know, mermaid style. Who needs a shell bra when you've got that hair? And I disobeyed my master, daring move, my child. And as I sucked and I licked and he bowed. So that's a nice transition to switch things up. And I love that there's fall colors in here where you've got the golden browns and you've got the fire and the emeralds, which of course go wonderfully with that hair. This is really lovely. And you go from the snow covered mountains to the warmth of this cave and the rising body heat. And you do it vividly and you do it, it's almost tactile, you know, you can almost smell those wildflower oils. And I love that you use cinnamon for your locks because that adds a whole other depth to the sensations that you depict, both in color and scent and taste. Even though nobody's eating your hair, well, nobody's eating your hair. And so, I love that it has that quality. You know, there's something, as guys know, really sensual about the very idea of cinnamon, because, you know, cinnamon, pumpkin spice candles, apple pie, whatever the heck it is, guys are like, hey, how you doing? And so I love that you described your hair that way, because it's already hot, you know, and so now it's like fully arousing, like in this undeniable fashion. That's how my mind works, because, you know, I tend to wrap things in weird shit. It's just the way I do things. And not to deny, I wrapped my legs around his head. He drank my honey with grace and power. So there's that. And Lady A, what do you think of them apples?
Wow. It's very sultry. It's very sexy. It's very much sweet. And I love all of it. I think that there's the third verse, I think it is, 1, 2, 3, gently heals my open wounds, silent are his judgments, as I claw through stones to eat the moon. I thought that was a beautiful verse.
Aww,
it's a verse about, I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Emma.
I thought it was a verse about someone seeing your flaws, your pain and your sorrow, but he has this soothing salve that he's pouring over you and healing all of it. And, you know, you talk about trust and lust and, you know, I think that there's this gentleness about it. And petting my crimson curls, glides his hand. And the whole thing was just very, I bathed in wildflower flower oils. And it just was a very beautiful piece. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
And Rathenshore, I'm sure you have thoughts.
Oh, and, you know, As you guys know, I have an ability to drag beautiful things into the mud, but I can't with this because of the way that you wrote. There's a couple of, first from the bear rug, I was like, you know, okay, so I wanted to make that into somehow that, you know, you were shaved, and no, I couldn't do that. You mentioned something down that stopped me from doing that. That there's another expression about the wound, but you made it plural. So I couldn't do that. I mean, every turn you foiled me, and it just had to be read as beautifully as you intended. And when you read it like that, I mean, it's sensual and intimate, and the thoughts that you evoke with it are, you know, just really enticing and inviting and, you know, as a guy, it makes me jealous. So, you know, mission accomplished. You did a beautiful job with it. You know, it's a very enjoyable piece, and you know, I'm surprised I didn't stammer more.
Aw, thank you, Rakitor.
You know, I don't know if I should be all butthurt over the fact that you don't get jealous over the crap that I write, but fine. It's sweet. I understand completely. But, yeah, you know,
I would disagree,
you make,
he does.
But you kind of make people want to be in poems. You know, like, you want to be that guy, especially when you get all sultry, which was a very good word, a description of this Lady A. Good job. When you get that way and you slowly drag your voice through the mood, it really kind of makes people stand up and pay attention in more than one way. Just pointing that out. And so I can absolutely see that, you know, it's like, oh, if only. So I fully understand. Because, you know, it's got a pull to it, and it is all kinds of fabulous. I put a poem of Rax up on the board, and so you let me know when y'all see it, and I shall hit play. I lied. I can't find it. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay. Yes. Just let me know when you can see it. I swear one day I won't be scatterbrained. Or it's fine. I'm all right. I think I'm just going to embrace my newfound fewer brain cells. It's been lingering. So this is who I am now. Enjoy. You guys see it? Hello?
Nobody sees anything.
So I'm going to go ahead and play. It's on the board.
Skin on Skin by Raconteur. For every square inch of my skin, there are 1,000 nerves screaming your name, begging to be introduced to the woman driving me insane. Thoughts of holding you possessively, and the fragrance of your hair have blossomed into full-blown desire to explore the passion we share. Fantasy is fine, but I need to linger on your lips, feasting on your fruit, savoring your nectar as it drips. Limbs entwine like imagination and dreams. Arousal builds to the sounds of our screams. Euphoria carries us to dizzying heights as we explore each other's bodies, leaving mottled purple love bites. Nails dragged across backs, leaving red furrows like pyres. The friction of skin on skin, kindling romantic fires. Relief to finally touch, spending time sharing how we feel. Each sunrise and sunset together proves miracles are real. End poem.
You know, before I get into the yumminess of this, when you read Limbs Entwined Like Imagination and Dreams, Arousal Builds to the Sounds of Our Screams, I swear I heard it in Vincent Price's voice, and I was like, spooky season? Oh, no, that's over. Because, you know, while it's beautiful and passionate, that just that verse by itself is very much, you know, I can absolutely hear Vincent Price lead into something, you know, sinister with it. And so I was it tickled me, and I was like, yeah, no, wrong week, we're good. But I've said this before, and I shall say this again. From the way you read the title with the long hiss of an S and the lingering on an end that almost sounds like a moan from the nails dragging on skin, it just is. For every square inch of my skin, there are 1,000 nerves screaming your name. Now, I get that your skin is in, like everybody's skin is in, you know, a multitude of inches. But when you say, for every square inch of my skin, those two lines is split for me. It is, you know, all of me wants you. And all of my specific inches want you very much, you know? And so I really I kind of love the duality of the feel of that opening. And fantasy is fine, but fantasy is fine, but I need to linger on your lips, feasting on your fruit, savoring your nectar as it drifts. I swear, that verse and Sweet Pea's verse go hand in hand. Like, that's like a his and her version of that part of the nectar-inducing thing. And it's equally as lovely. It's equally as vivid. It is, you know, he's like feasting with power, and here he's feasting with gusto, and there's a lot of savoring going on. And it's a beautiful
thing. Casey had no.
Well, you see, there's just nectar everywhere, and I kind of feel out of the loop. It's fine, and so I like the euphoria carries us to dizzying heights because it's like a drug, you know. When all of the blood rushes out of your head and into the more pleasurable places of sensation, you get a little high, and if you are having a raucous time-ish, then there's a lot of heaving, and there's a lot of gasping, and there's less oxygen to the brain, and there's just a lot of things that heighten other things that pull you out of the reality of the space you're in and into each other. And I think that euphoria and dizzying heights, it really pulls you in with just a few words to that place. And I like the Model Purple Love Bites because, you know, you need a little something to remember them by, you know? And so she's got the purple bites. You've got the drag marks from her dragon lady nails, and you're good to go. You'll be feeling them for the next few days and remembering fondly in the most inappropriate times. So I really absolutely love this. I do. And that whole miracles are real, like I can't believe I have her. That, I just love that. So sweet. What are your thoughts on this nectar-inducing piece?
Everybody knows how I love poems within a poem. And I decided to go with the first line. But Raconteur, yours are so hot. Reading the last lines of each stanza, I think, sums up how really hot this poem is. So, to the woman driving me insane, to explore the passions we share, savoring your nectar as it drips, to the sounds of our screams, weaving molten purple love bites, kindling romantic fires, proves miracles are real. I think that just is fabulous writing. And, yeah, kindling romantic fires proves miracles are real. I thought that just is a great ending to put it all together. Wonderful, beautiful job there, Mr. Rackentor.
Thank you, my dear.
And my queen, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that, you know, you could read anything and get the same response because of your voice and the tone with which you read. It's always very enticing and very romantic, your voice is. And so when you write a poem like this that is entirely romantic, entirely sensual, and you add your voice to that, it's what I call swoonable, and you've done that yet again with this piece, and I know other people who read well and all of that sort of jazz, but there's not really anybody that reads like you do, and I really enjoy your voice and the words that you read because it's always very emotionally charged, I find, and beautifully done, and very romantic indeed, and it was just a really great job.
You ain't heard my voice enough for you to be saying that I could read anything. You know what I'm talking about?
Now.
You're going to have to, like, write a poem and
read
like that.
I did. The beast, the roast beast.
Oh, that's funny. That was the rap thing for Beast, right? The rap roast. That's funny.
Yeah.
I put a poem on the board. It'll be the last one of the evening because it's almost midnight. But a few weeks ago, Sweet, you had put up a poem that you wrote to this image, and I couldn't find it for the life of me. And what's funny is I was looking for who the heck knows what, and this one actually had spoon in the title, and I never bothered to look for spoon because I never am that obvious. And the one time I don't even bother to look, and I'm scatterbrained. Anyway, so I wanted to bring this one then, but I couldn't find it. But I remembered it, and here you are, so I'm going to just read it now. So it is on the board. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Okay. This is spoon-fed. Cradled on the edge of ecstasy, she awaits the sensual savagery. Assuming the position, she stays in place, basking in the change in the air as he nears. Taken by mouth and oral acuity, leaving pearly pools of decadence in his wake, devoured in deviant delicacies that begin where it ends and ends at the next beginning, and tongues play moonlight in full orchestral arrangements, plucking harp strings in time with each staccatoed breath. Drained and swollen, she parts oceans, and he drives tidal waves from her depths. For this ravenous fiend, she trembles in anticipation, where silence bends air into sound. End poem.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. You write so beautifully. I really love everything about this. Your metaphors are superb. And, again, you and your voice, you know, there are a few that can read, and you get moved by the sounds that you hear, and I think yours is, you know, Sweet has that same ability, and you do, and Rack does too. And I think it's a real gift. This is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. And Sweet has dropped, unfortunately.
Okay. What did you think?
No wonder why she didn't run comments for you. Were you done, Lady A?
Yeah, I was just calling on you.
Okay, well, yeah. So many people to choose from. I was wondering if you were going to call me next. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, the your voice aside, I mean, the way that you write about things, the emotion that you put behind what you're talking about, it really comes through. And I'm drawing a complete blank because my mind is Swiss cheese, but I mean, you take the thoughts of intimacy and you weave them into moments that are so, you know, relatable. And that, unfortunately, that's more, too generic a comment for what you wrote. But right now, like I said, my head's Swiss cheese and couldn't, like you said, it's near midnight and I don't know. But I mean, the beauty in this is undeniable. I'm cursing my eyes out right now as we speak.
You are good, my dear. Thank you. You guys are awesome. You guys brought such beautiful pieces tonight. Lady A, I put you on two lists, one that I tend to rotate and one that I don't ever take anything off of. So it moved me. I refused to cry on this particular show when you got to the I Love When I Miss You. It kind of broke me a little bit in a beautiful way. And so it's an undeniable thing. I don't always save everything all the time. I just save the ones that I know that I'm going to need to read again. And it spoke to me. So there it is.
Thank
and you guys
you
are.
Thank you.
What was that?
Bud was on the board.
He was earlier. Lady A, what did you say?
I just said thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I absolutely loved it. It's probably my favorite poem of the night, just because it touched me on so many levels. But it you're welcome. It is exactly midnight, so that is the end of our pretty sweet teas full of a lot of fruit and all kinds of nectar to drink. So there is that, something to go away with. And I will hopefully have the topic up in the next few days for next week. And this show should be made public, and the link will be on the board by Wednesday. So probably by Tuesday, actually. And so everybody will be able to enjoy the fabulous deliciousness that you guys brought tonight. Thank you all. You are appreciated and very well loved, and I think you're fabulous. So until next time,
thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Fabulous too. Thank you. Great night. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Andrea.
Good night.
Good night, pretty bird.
Well, you know, if it would click the end episode button, I could actually, you know, go. Here we go. All right. Now, good night.
Thank you for using